This audio sermon is provided by AnabaptistSermons.com and may be freely copied and distributed. You may not sell or edit this sermon. Our prayer is that you would be blessed by this ministry.
There's nobody else. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. I've been thinking about the Beatitudes. Been thinking about the Sermon on the Mount, really. And but the Beatitudes go with the Sermon on the Mount. They're the beginning. And I used to think, there for a while, I was thinking that maybe the Beatitudes was an outline to the Sermon on the Mount. But I don't really, maybe that's debatable. I don't know, it'd be a good discussion thing. But it's more of a, to me, the Sermon on the Mount is a practical way to live the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes are really they're a pronouncement of blessing. But I want to look at the why God is pronouncing these blessings. And so, I don't know what the title would be. I think that I'm going to talk more about the Beatitudes later in sermons to come and about the Sermon on the Mount. So it's almost an introduction and some things to stir our thinking. You know, we all know the Beatitudes, but I want us to think about how they apply to our life. You know, if we don't make Scripture practical, if you don't make it practical, what good is it? If you don't apply it to your life, what good is Scripture? It doesn't make sense to know the Beatitudes, but what do they mean to you? What good are they? So I want to look at that. Another thing that I was thinking about, and we must have these Beatitudes as the foundation stones. Anymore, when we build a house, we just pour this big old thick wall. But in my grandpa's house, they had, what do they call it? Michigan basement, I think, where they, you know, the foundation is, or the walls are like this thick, you know. But they pack in these stones one at a time, you know. They're the foundation stones of our Christian life. But as we look at them, they're not the easiest things, especially verses 9, 10, and 11. They're not the easiest things to lay up these foundation stones. They're hard to live. You know, if you look at the very first one, you know what, maybe I'll read chapter 5, verses 1 through 16 first. And seeing the multitudes, he went up. He's talking about Jesus. He went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now I want you to pay attention to not so much the blessing. It seems like today there's so much talk of blessing. You know, down in Jamaica, we heard it all the time, you know, just come to the Lord and give your heart to God and He'll bless you and all kinds of blessings. And, you know, you'll prosper. And look at all the prosperity doctrine today. And yes, that's something that I want to look at. But let's look at why they're being blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I had to ask myself, of these Beatitudes, do I have any of those qualities? Do you have any of them? Of course you do. And I had to think, do I have all of them? I had to think of verse 16. What are the good works? And, you know, we could say that verses 3 through 12, there are good works in those verses. But if you look at the very first one, the poor in spirit, what does that mean? What does poor in spirit mean to you? Long time ago, I guess sometime, I wrote down humility. It's just being humble. It's coming to Christ and saying, I have nothing. It's just like what Dustin was saying. Coming to your brother and saying, this is my problem. Or your sister. And saying, I've got a problem in this area. It's humbling yourself. Poor in spirit. And notice what it says. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And notice that the very last one, the last blessing is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, for those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I've been reading in the Martyr's Mirror. If you have never read the Martyr's Mirror, do. I'm telling you what. You cannot imagine. I mean, it just grosses you out. You cannot imagine what those anywhere from 13 years old up to whatever are persecuted for. What they do, for real, read it. It'll challenge you and you'll think, we do not know what persecution is. And then we think, we know we're afraid to say something for the Lord at work. Gentlemen. Because we're going to get made fun of. That, man. Anyways, that spoke to me. I want to turn real quick to Isaiah 57. There's a verse there, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And also chapter 66, verse 2. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. I've seen some men tremble at God's word. And sometimes when I get up in the morning to have quiet time, you know, just flip it open. What am I going to read today? You know, I don't really think that's trembling at God's word. We need to respect and tremble at His word. These Beatitudes are foundational. That's a big word. They're foundational to our Christian growth. They're roots to a God-fearing life. They're the only way for us to grow. They are keys to the abundant life. I want to look at a verse in John chapter 10. Verse 10 says, Sorry, it's just one verse. I should have wrote it down or memorized it. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they have that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. These Beatitudes, this way of life that I'd want to say, they are keys to the abundant life that John is talking about here, that Jesus talks about in John, that John records. One thing that I believe is that these blessings, I think that we're always going to be striving after these Beatitudes, these qualities, these graces. I think Denny said he called them beautiful attitudes. I kind of like that thought. But to be poor in spirit, to mourn, to be meek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be peacemakers, and to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. There, it's something that we can have these blessings or these graces now, but I think that we'll always be striving for them throughout our whole life. And as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, there are practical ways, and we can learn from the Sermon on the Mount how to apply it to our lives, but it's not going to be an all-inclusive, you know what I mean? It's like there's going to be new things, there's going to be different things besides this way of life, but we can apply everything that we're going to come up against to the Sermon on the Mount. As we look at, I talked a little bit already about blessed. You know, in the Old Testament, when it talked about being blessed, it was with more land, more cows and sheep and goats. And but in the New Testament, there's quite a few scripture that talk about being blessed in a totally different way. It's talking about spiritual blessings, not just about material blessings. And if you look up the Greek definition of blessed here in Matthew chapter 5, it says supremely blessed. You will be supremely spiritually blessed. You will experience God's favor in your life. We already talked about abundant life. I want to turn, let's turn to 1 Peter Chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, joy unspeakable. Receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's the kind of spiritual blessing. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And Romans 15 says, but I know when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. And Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Romans 5, verse 5 says, the love of God is shed abroad. In the King James it says, but in the New King James it says, poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. The love of God. You know, these are all familiar verses, but what do they really mean? It's this blessedness that that Jesus was talking about here in these in the Beatitudes. And if you just look at this gold mine that we have here, you know, I know that we do we love God just for the blessings? Do we love Him because He's worthy to be loved and worthy to be praised and worthy to be honored? Or do we want just heaven? Or do we want just blessings? But look at this gold mine. There's a gold mine right here that can be ours. And there's so many religions out there that they're talking about the same thing, but they're going about it in a different way. And they're never going to find it. It's only finding it, it's hidden in Jesus Christ, if you know what I mean. They have to find it in Jesus Christ. And they have to live it, not just say, I believe. It's obedience. And so as we look at them the next couple times, how do they apply to my life? The German translation of this, blessed, if you'd read it in the German Bible, says saved. The reality of salvation, the reality of salvation is to those who are poor in spirit. The reality of salvation is to those who mourn, and go on and on and on. Saved. The world would look at being blessed in a totally different way. You know, what is their definition of being blessed is going to be success. You know, it's very different. Totally different. You know, they're going to say, you know, it's going to be all about positive thinking, how to get more, how to get ahead, how to move up the ladder, move up the totem pole. That's their way of being blessed. It's more like blessed are the independent, blessed are those who laugh all the time, or blessed are those who think positive all the time, that get their way, that fight for their rights. Blessed are those who accept themselves for who they are. You know, they say, I'm okay, that's just the way I am, instead of looking to how God wants them to live and changing their lives. Now, I'm not saying you are beautiful just the way you are. That's not what I'm saying. But when it comes to sin, that's what I'm saying. Blessed are those who push their way to the top no matter what. Or, you know, how they go with the flow. And they think, you know, this is rightfully mine. You know, everything's about rights. And I think that there's a lot of Christians in the world who have a hard time with these Beatitudes. But they're also going to have a hard time when it comes time for persecution. They're not going to be able to stand. How will they stand? How will you stand when persecution comes? When they hold your child up in front of you while you're being stretched to the limit? There was a story of a lady who was on the rack. Arms pulled out of joint, hips pulled out of joint, and he held her baby up in front of her and cut her head off. Recant. She said, no way. You know, you can get pretty grossed out. But you think about what those early Christians believed in, why they didn't recant. And would we recant? To watch, you know, it's pretty, I'm not even sure if what's going through my head, I'm not even sure if I can say, but to watch your child's head drop to the floor, you would do it for Christ. And that's what verses 10, 11, and 12 is talking about. Being persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I just, that spoke volumes to me. When it comes to persecution, you know, there's a lot of people saying persecution's right around the corner and rah, 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 you know. Are you ready? You know, Jesus, He has always said to prepare yourselves. A lot of times that scripture is taken, you know, prepare ourselves for heaven. And I believe that's what it can, but are you Are we, as a church, giving our all for Jesus Christ? Just totally sold out. To the point where, under the most extreme persecution and torture, and even watching our own children getting killed, will we stay true to the Lord? And if you read some of their testimonies, as they're in prison, and as they write letters to the church, they write letters to their wives, they write letters to their children, they are the most blessed words, sweetest words that you can ever imagine. The sweetest songs, poems, you know, the most challenging. And, you know, words like that, thoughts like that, they never come from people sitting in mansions, do they? Never. You know, if you look at these hymns that we sing today, I'd like to study them sometime. Maybe somebody could do that. Take a song or take some songs that were written. But, you know, Jesus, Jesus said that the only way that we can go up is to go down, to humiliate ourselves, to humble ourselves. Be poor in spirit. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to look at both of the accounts, the one in Matthew and the other one is in Luke. But at the end of chapter 7, I want to read 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now if we turn to Luke 6, same story, but just said in a little bit different way. Verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. I like that, how Luke says that. He dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I had the picture. Here's a nice stream. It says stream. Here's a nice stream. These two guys build these houses. There's two houses sitting beside this nice little brook or stream. And I had to think of this guy who doesn't do them, who hears the words but doesn't do them. I had to think of the person who looks at this Sermon on the Mount, looks at the Beatitudes, and says, there's no way. You know, I can't ever live up to that. I could never live up to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not even going to try. Doesn't even believe it. It's too radical, too ridiculous. There's no way that I can. But if you look at these two houses, they look exactly the same. Well, maybe they build a little different or something, but they look just as strong. You know, the one has a foundation. You can't see that foundation. And if you think about, it's a nice little stream. You never dream that there's going to be a hurricane. I know down in Jamaica they build these houses right along these rivers, you know, and then a hurricane comes, washes them all out. They're not looking ahead. There's no vision. What does the Bible say about those people who have no vision? Anybody? People perish. So they're not looking ahead at this little nice little brook. But when the persecution comes, when hard times come, when it rains like crazy, what's going to stand? Who's going to stand? So it's not so much, yes, it matters what's on the outside, but where's our foundation? What do we believe in? Do we believe in being poor in spirit, being merciful, meek, hunger and thirst after righteousness? We need those solid foundation stones. I'd like to look at the three passages that kind of go along with the Beatitudes. The first one is in Ephesians 4. I never really looked at this as a parallel scripture to the Beatitudes. But if you follow along, I think you'll see some how they go very well together. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness. That's that poor in spirit. Bearing with one another in love. If you, as we read these scriptures, think about how they go along with the Beatitudes. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now let's go to James chapter 3. We'll read 13 to 18. Now who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But now pay attention to 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Willing to yield is the same thing as meekness. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And then in going over to chapter 4, verse 10, 6 to 10. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. And weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And He will what? What will He do? Anybody? Amen. He will lift you up. That plain and simple. So, you know, we could look at the life of Jesus as an example. Look what he did. We could talk all day on that. So as we look at the Beatitudes and as we start to study them, I feel like I don't know anything about them really. But I'm interested in learning more. But I would like to look at how the Beatitudes start with humility, and I think that we'll see it all the way down through humility. It's a very priceless possession. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time again that we have. We're so thankful for your Holy Spirit being here among us. Lord, I pray that you would apply your word, your holy word, to our hearts, Lord. Help us to keep them open and receptive to your word. And help us to see what you're trying to say to us and how we can apply your word to our hearts and make them practical, and we can live them and not just read them. We can be doers of them and not just hearers of them. Lord, help us. Just pray that you would go with us and help us to be a shining light to others. In Jesus' name, amen.